Hello, thank you so much. Thank you for being patient and being here on a Saturday morning. Here is a picture of a solar eclipse. So I wanted to talk about eclipses, not just here on Earth, but elsewhere in our solar system, maybe even beyond our solar system as well. But first up, how do we get eclipses here on the Earth? So it's all to do with the moon orbiting around us. So I've got two videos up on the screen there. On the right side, we are looking down at the Earth's North Pole, and you can see the moon just going around the Earth. And the sun is in this direction here. Can you see my, you can't see my laser pointer, but it's that yellow thing over there. So you can sort of figure out, you know, how we get the phases as well, because different amounts of the moon from our point of view gets lit up by the sun. And so on the other side of the screen, we've got what the moon looks like to us. So you've got, you know, like a full moon, a waxing gibbous, a new moon, and so on. On to the two types of eclipses we get here on the Earth then. So first up, probably the more spectacular ones, the one that people really want to see, are the solar eclipses. So we get a solar eclipse when the moon gets in between us and the sun and blocks out the sun's light. And then the other type is the lunar eclipse, when the moon gets in the Earth's shadow. Who here has seen a lunar eclipse first? Awesome, lots of you. Who's seen a solar eclipse? Who? Twice. You're just showing off now. Did you see a total solar eclipse or just a partial? Some of you saw total. Partial, total. Cool, amazing stuff. So if you want to be fancy, you can call it a syzygy. A syzygy in astronomy is just when three things line up. So here we've got the sun, the Earth and the moon lining up. But we get solar eclipses on Earth roughly, you know, 2 or 5 times a year, and a total solar eclipse somewhere on Earth once every 18 months or so. And likewise, you get maybe 2 to 5 lunar eclipses a year, but the moon takes 29 and a half days to orbit the Earth. So why don't we get eclipses every single month? Well, it's because the moon's orbit is slightly tilted. It's tilted at an angle of about 5 degrees. So that is just enough. And this footage is going to move us over so that we're going to look at the Earth's equator there. So that orange line there is the Earth's equator. So you can see that sometimes the moon is sort of above the Earth, and so it's not in that perfect straight line between us and the sun. Sometimes it's below the Earth, and that's how we get the new moons or the full moons when the moon is behind the Earth. And sometimes you can see that the moon lies perfectly straight in line between us and the sun, and that is when you get the solar or the lunar eclipses. So you can think of solar eclipses as a special type of new moon, and a lunar eclipse as a special type of a full moon. And this is what a lunar eclipse looks like during the different parts of it. So when the moon gets in the Earth's shadow, it gets darker and darker and darker. And when it's a total lunar eclipse, it doesn't just disappear. It actually turns red just like this. We've got a better photo of it here. So you can see the red moon. But why does it turn red? So if something is in the shadow of something else, it just turns black. Why does it turn red? Well, it's because of the Earth's atmosphere. And it's the same reason why we have blue skies during the day, if it's not cloudy, and also red skies during sunrise and sunset. So the Earth's atmosphere scatters sunlight, and sunlight is made up of all the colors of the rainbow. The red light gets scattered the least, and so during a lunar eclipse, that red light can sort of pass through the Earth's atmosphere, and then it reflects off the moon, and we see a red moon during a total lunar eclipse. So I think there's supposed to be a lunar eclipse sometime soonish in the next few months. A really good website to actually check if you can see an eclipse, whether they're solar or lunar, is timeanddate.com. So you can actually pick which city you're in, and it tells you when you can see the eclipse and what it will look like from your lake as well. But onto solar eclipses. So this is quite a high-res photo of a total solar eclipse taken by NASA. So the sun has this outer atmosphere called the corona, and it's very, very dim compared to what we call the surface of the sun, and it's much, much hotter. So you can only see the corona, this sort of wispy feature there, when the moon blocks out the sun's light, or the majority of the sun's light, during a total solar eclipse like this. And you can maybe just about see on the edges prominences, so bits of the sun sort of trying to escape the surface of the sun there. So we mentioned slightly about the different types of solar eclipses. We've talked about total solar eclipses and also partial solar eclipses. There's a third called the annular solar eclipse. So there was a partial, was it last year, maybe the year before? So I took the one in the photo in the middle there. And there's a really small sunspot right at the top there. But this is what an annular solar eclipse looks like. And it's called the Ring of Fire. You can maybe guess why. But how do we get all of these different types of eclipses? Well, not only is the moon's orbit tilted, it's also not perfectly circular. So sometimes it's closer to us, other times it's a bit further away. So during a solar eclipse, the moon is the right sort of distance away from us that it's the darkest part of its shadow, called the umbra, actually falls on Earth, and that's where we get the total solar eclipses. If you are in the penumbra, which is the sort of lighter part, the outer part of the moon's shadow, that's where you get the partial solar eclipses. And when the moon is, you know, at its furthest point away from us, in between us and the sun, that's where you get the annular eclipse. So now the moon is slightly too small to completely cover up the sun. So here's just a little comparison between between a total eclipse and an annular eclipse. And I've got this beach ball here. So it's sort of shrunk a little bit, but that's supposed to represent our sun. Our moon is about this big. You can barely see it. I'll be on the Q&A tent later if you want to have a look. But you can see just how big our sun is compared to our moon. And it's all really a coincidence, to be honest. The moon is about 400 times smaller than the sun in terms of its diameter, but it's also 400 times closer to us. And so that perspective gives us this really sort of quite unique eclipses where we get the total solar eclipse. But recently, the Artemis 2 crew saw their own type of solar eclipse. So during their flyby of the moon, they were in just the right spots for the moon to completely cover up the sun. So this was unique to them. Usually a total solar eclipse during the maximum, when the moon is completely blocking out the sun, lasts for maybe a minute or two. They got to see this for about 54 minutes, so it's a much, much longer eclipse. And you can see a sort of halo around the moon there. And we don't really know why that is yet, so it could be the solar corona, so that atmosphere, that thin atmosphere, outer atmosphere of the sun, or it could be zodiacal light, which is sunlight reflecting off interplanetary dust. Or it can be a combination of the two. So that is currently a topic of research at the moment. Now, we are going to have quite a deep partial eclipse next month. So on the 12th of August, we are going to see a partial eclipse. So this dark line here, that's where the total eclipse is going to be. So it's going to pass through Iceland and Spain. And for us, the moon is going to block out about 90% of the sun. And it does depend on where you are in the country. but it's somewhere around 90%. And it'll start at about 6 p.m. And finish at about 8 p.m. So if you want to go out and see it, make sure you're sort of somewhere up high, maybe up on a hill, with a clear horizon. Because the sun will be quite low, it'll almost set. And so you don't want, tall trees or buildings in your way. And an eclipse talk wouldn't be complete without a slide about safety. Because please don't just look up at the sun. You get blinded. We don't want that. So there are a few different ways that you can look at the sun and eclipses safely. The first is using this projection method. So you can get two pieces of card, poke a pinhole through one, and then sort of lay it over another piece of card, and you can just about see a projection of the sun on the top there. Or if you don't want to do that, just get a colander. Colanders have lots of little holes, so you'll get some really nice patterns through the shadow that it creates. You can also kind of do it through leaves, actually, or on trees. They can also give you this sort of projection effect. You can use solar eclipse glasses. I'm pretty sure they're going to sell out very soon, so if you want to get some now. Or you can use filters that go over your telescopes or your cameras or your smartphones and things like that. So this was actually me and some colleagues and friends a few years ago. We weren't looking at an eclipse, we were actually looking at the transit of Mercury. So the moon is not the only thing that can get in between us and the sun. We've got two planets closer in, Venus and Mercury. And this particular picture here is of Mercury. So those tiny dots is Mercury making its way across the sun. So this is a series of different images. So the difference between a transit and eclipse is that a transit occurs when you've got a smaller body crossing directly in front of a bigger one. And an eclipse is when one object completely blocks another and casts its shadow onto it. So even though Mercury is a little bit bigger than the moon-ish, Venus is definitely bigger than the moon, they are further away from us, so they appear smaller to us than the moon. So the last time we had a transit of Mercury was in 2019. The next one will be in 2032, so not too long to wait for that. And a transit of Mercury typically lasts 2 to 8 hours, so you can really make an event of it. Transits of Venus, though, are a bit rarer because it takes Venus longer to go around the sun than Mercury. So the last time we had a transit of Venus was in 2012. The next one, though, will be in 2117. So make sure you put that in your calendar if you want to see it. And because, well, Venus is closer to us, it will appear to move faster across the sun. Transits of Venus last typically about six hours long. So that's all the things you can see on Earth and around the Earth, around the Moon. But what about on other planets? I just can't believe that we've got videos like these, to be honest. So the Perseverance rover on Mars took videos of these transits of Mars's moons. So on the right, we've got Phobos, the larger of the two moons, and then we've got Deimos here. So we're looking up at the sun, and the two sort of dark blobs there are the two moons around Mars. So other planets totally can have transits and eclipses. And this is the first time that we've seen a transit or an eclipse on the surface of another body, which is incredible. So these were from 2024. Phobos transits last about 30 seconds, and they actually happen almost every single Martian day because Phobos takes, such a short amount of time to go around Mars. Deimos transits last about 2 minutes, and they're a bit more rare. They happen maybe once or twice every Martian year. But not only that, we've also got a video of a transit of Mercury from Mars. So that little tiny dot at the top of the picture there, that's moving across the yellow disk of the sun, that is Mercury. So this GIF, this video was sped up about 400 times the real speed. Takes a few hours. Okay, let's think about transits a bit differently now. Let's look at actually a different planet altogether and see things moving across it. So we've seen transits of moons at Jupiter and Saturn here. So we've got four of Saturn's moons moving across the face of the planet there. And at the start of the video, I think it's going to loop around again, but you can just about see actually the shadow of Dione, and Enceladus there. So if you could place yourself in that shadow, you would see a transit. You would see those moons block out a little bit of the sun's light. But you can also do it sort of the other way around. We did have a spacecraft orbit around Saturn. It was called Cassini. It ended its mission about 10 years ago now. And it's a very, very, very successful mission. And one of the things it did was it actually turned around and took this picture of Saturn. Now, usually, Cassini isn't allowed to turn back around and sort of face the inner solar system because the sun is there, because it's so bright. It would just damage its cameras. But Saturn got in the way, and it took this amazing photo. So you can see the rings of Saturn getting backlit. And there is a little surprise here, because it's not just a photo of Saturn. We've got us. A teeny tiny little dot represents the Earth and the Moon. So this photo was actually called The Day the Earth Smiled, because NASA knew that was going to happen. So they told everyone, you know, at this time, look up at the sky and wave and smile, because we're going to take a photo of every single one of you. Let's leave our solar system now and go elsewhere. Go way, 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 way out. So exoplanets are planets that orbit around other stars. So far we've found 6,000 or something. The numbers keep going up and up and up and up. And the sort of most popular method to detect them is this transit method. So you've got an exoplanet going across its star, blocking some of that star's light. And this graph here is a measure of the brightness of the star. So you can see a little dip there where the planet moves in front of the star. And then if it's got another star, or maybe even an exomoon, you can also detect a slightly smaller dip there as well. So I think out of the 6,000-7,000 odd exoplanets we've discovered, something like 3/4 of them were discovered this way. So it's a hugely successful way of finding exoplanets. And what is the point then? What can we do with these transits? So actually, looking at the dip, looking at how deep it is, looking at how wide the dip is, we can figure out how far the exoplanet is from the sun, or from its star rather, how fast it's moving, how big it is, and we can also see if it has an atmosphere, and also what kind of gases is in its atmosphere, because we can analyze the light. So the star's light would get absorbed by the different gases in the atmosphere of the exoplanet, and then we'll see dark lines like this, so they've been absorbed. And by looking at where those dark lines are, we can figure out what gases there are in that atmosphere, and potentially find, you know, signatures for life on that exoplanet, which is very, very exciting. So that's all I wanted to sort of talk to you about today. Eclipses are really cool. Try and look for the one in a few weeks' time. And I'll be in the Q&A tent in a moment if you've got any questions. And thanks so much for coming.